If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Training camp, upcoming preseason game. So a lot of stuff this week. We said time to bust the lives back out. Just Josh and myself today. Justin was supposed to be here. His babysitter went into labor. And now instead of having a babysitter, Justin is babysitting his kids and two other kids. So Justin last minute wasn't able to make it. So hopefully everything's going well with that.
So basically we're saying pray for Justin.
Yes. And it's his sister-in-law who's went into labor. So good luck with everything with that. But we got a fun episode lined up. I know we had a video intro with Kenny Mack. And we had another voicemail from Kenny Mack. We had a voicemail from Brad Moneymaker. We wanted to play, having some technical difficulties, guys, and we're not able to play it without just an insane amount of a very annoying sound in our ears or anything working.
We haven't done a live forever. And it's one of those things where we experienced it like one time during a live when we were getting ready months ago.
Yeah.
And just went without what we were using. And then after that, it was fine. And now here it is. We're getting ready to go live and it's back. The loud sound.
So we're going to have to figure this out. So unfortunately we can't play any of your voicemails or anything like that. So we didn't forget about it. I had them in the notes. We're going to play them. But technical difficulties arose last minute. We weren't able to figure it out, but I think we got a fun episode lined up nonetheless. Before we get into everything though, remember, if you want to get your intros and voicemails on the show, when we get it fixed, head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail. We're inching very close to the 10K subscriber mark on YouTube. So if you're watching right now and you haven't yet subscribed, please do so. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the content we're putting out. We're getting very close to football season. I can taste it. You don't want to miss any of the stuff that's going to be coming out the closer we get to the season, as well as we enter the season, the game recaps and the game previews and all the good stuff we're doing in the season. So make sure you subscribe, help us get to 10K, and also make sure you have that notification bell tapped so you don't miss any of the content we're putting out. If you prefer to listen to the show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. You can find us on all the major social media platforms at The Dogs Podcast. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. You get access to the private Discord. You get an extra episode every week. And the big thing, as we're inching closer to football season, you get to play fantasy football with us. We currently have four redraft leagues are completely filled. We have two dynasty leagues that are already ongoing. And I think we had 5 redraft leagues last year. So if we can get up to 5 again, that means there's essentially 10 spots open right now. If we can fill up 10 spots between now and the cutoff is August 23rd.
Yes.
We'll do the 10th league. If we only get like 5, I'm sure we can find 5 people who are in the other leagues who want to do more than one. So, but let's at least try to get this last league filled up before August 23rd. That way we can get notifications sent out to everybody about joining the leagues, getting in the sleeper app and all that good stuff, setting up the draft times for five different leagues across the country. So it takes a lot to get everything going. So that's why we got to make the cutoff August 23rd. So if you want to play fantasy football with us, you got a little bit of time left to jump into a league, play with us, win yourself some Dogs merch, talk trash with guys from all over the country. It's the fantasy football has been, this will be our fourth year doing it now. And it's a ton of fun.
It's so much fun. I mean, there are people from the leagues last year, like Sleeper automatically renewed those redraft leagues just
yeah, I have to go and delete
after
it.
So long. And all the people in my league are like, all right, your league's back up. I'm like, man, all these guys want to stay in the same league and they want to rematch each other from last year. So we'll see. We'll kind of see how we decide to divvy up the leagues and all that stuff. But like Blake said, if you've ever thought about joining the dog pack or just seeing what the Discord's all about, and if you want to play fantasy, I mean, get in there now, do it. It's a ton of fun. We have so much fun during the season, especially, but really all year round, especially that Discord, man.
Yeah, and it's the any level of the dog pack you join gets you into fantasy football.
Yep.
So, I mean, in terms of essentially buy-ins, like you have to stay in the dog pack. We hopefully you'll stay forever. But essentially, I mean, if the football season's 4 months long, 5 months long, so for $20, you get a buy-in to fantasy football. I feel like for leagues, that's pretty cheap.
Yep.
So it's not a huge monetary commitment. It's just a ton of fun. You win some Dogs merch if you win your leagues. We give a ton of stuff away. You can win multiple leagues and win multiple pieces of merch. So it's a good time for everybody involved. So if you want to play fantasy football with us, you want to get access to that private Discord, you want to get an extra episode every week, you want to kind of be more involved in the behind the scenes of the episodes, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So this is where we're going to open with a voicemail, but we're not going to do that anymore.
Nope.
So
no, we're not.
The Browns have basically wrote a letter to the fan base today. Did you get a chance to read it? It was very long.
Ooh, you know, I did. I took a screenshot of it, but I didn't read it. No.
Okay. So you'll have to read it on your own time because it's long.
Well, I mean, I guess. Oh, wait.
But it is in nice terms. They were essentially saying Cleveland gave us this. We requested they give us more information, but we're not fucking doing that. Okay. Right. We're going to Brook Park. They were like, we got these options. We explored other options. They're not feasible. We got these two options. This one, we'll listen to some more information if they want to pass it along. But look how good this option is.
Yeah.
We really like this one. This one makes a ton of sense. And the more we look at it, the more we're going to do it. And that's essentially what the letter is saying. They're just saying it in very nice PR, professional, stay in good standing with the city type terms. So they put out some pictures of the rendering of what what they're envisioning down there or up there for us in Brook Park. And they released a video. I think we're going to watch the video. So if you guys haven't got to see it, take a peek at what the Browns kind of have in mind. And then we're going to give you our thoughts on what they're putting out, our thoughts on the move, all that good stuff. So enjoy this video. There's no sound to it, so we're going to narrate it as it goes so people don't think it's just dead air.
That's right.
There's no sound for the same reason we couldn't play the voicemails.
And I think it's funny that how many days ago was it that whole thing came out where the city of Cleveland sent them whatever their proposal, and it's like in the background, the Browns are working on this type of stuff.
Yes,
right here. These renderings, this, you know, this whole promotional video for the whole vision. It's like Brook Park. And we've said this, I know I've said this on the show before. It was always going to be Brook Park.
Yes.
Everything else was just, you know, a courtesy.
And it's like I said, it's trying to stay in good faith with the city. Look how awesome this is.
I mean, and it's, that's the thing. Like, I love that they actually put this vision together because now people can hopefully visualize what they've been saying. It's not just a stadium. It's not just a dome. Like, this is a world-class state-of-the-art facility, and the area, the surrounding development.
It looks like Vegas.
It does. It's insane. I mean,
obviously, it won't be all of that overnight.
Right.
The primary focus will, but if the stadium's up in 2 years from now or 3 years from now, however long it takes to build a stadium, 5 years from now, you're going to start, it's going to look a lot like this. Like, yes. They're not going to beat around the bush. Jimmy Haslam's going to want to make his money back. He's going to start building hotels. He's going to start doing all this stuff. Just like I said, when the first time I watched this, look, it's a parking lot. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to go up to the game and park in a parking lot, a well-lit parking lot, and walk to the stadium, not walk 4 miles through downtown Cleveland in, you know, pouring down rain or 60 mile per hour wind gusts. The glass roof on this thing.
Oh my gosh. When I saw that, whenever I first picture I saw, I'm like, what are they doing here? And then when I saw the video, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
The glass roof looks so awesome. It says the sound is sounding. So we're just talking over the sound.
Oh, really?
Oopsie daisy.
So well, here, I can take care of that real quick. There you go. How's that, guys? A little better?
There's no sound. I was going to say, should we shut up or what? Well, there was no sound for us, so it's weird that there was sound for you guys.
All right. Anyway.
The sound is way louder than you guys are. I was basically talking about how much I hated everything that had to do with you guys. And no, I was just joking.
Yeah, we told you guys we were having some serious tech difficulties with the audio today.
First live in a couple months. This, first of all, the video board on the outside, like can they play? Like, will the game be on this giant video screen and you can just like roll up to the stadium and like have a freaking party going on outside the stadium and watch the game up on the board and you hear the crowd coming through? Like, that'd be awesome. And just like I was telling Josh, you've never seen a game in a dome, have you?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
So I watched one game in a dome. It was an Ohio State game, Big Ten Championship in Indy at Lucas Oil.
Right.
The atmosphere is awesome. There's no bad seats. They don't take the seats as high and as wide, at least at Lucas Oil. I haven't been to a bunch of different domes, but I was in the upper deck at Lucas Oil and I felt like I had great seats. Mm-hmm. Like there was no bad seats inside this dome. It was freezing out at this Big Ten Championship. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The atmosphere, it's loud. I mean, you think about it. Think about how loud Browns fans are inside.
Right. You're losing all that
noise into the air. You put a dome on it. So you want to talk about an atmosphere. I mean, we could make the place shake.
Yep.
And it's just what I put in here is the current game day experience at a Browns game. And I love the Browns, obviously. Okay. It's not like I'm making millions of dollars doing this podcast. I do, you know, we do it because I love the Browns. The game day experience right now is kind of ass. Okay. Yeah. If you want to get to a 1 o'clock game in Cleveland and you want to be in your seat on time, you have to be in Cleveland by 7, 8 a.m. almost. So you got to be into Cleveland 6 hours before the game starts if you want to be in your seat in time. And then they got rid of the one way to get there quickly a few years back. So now it's a super long walk from wherever you park, essentially, yep, to get to the stadium. And then once you get to the stadium, it's like the lines to get into the stadium, you're packed in like sardines. The one game I went to last year, yeah, I was almost missed kickoff.
Remember how mad, like I was pissed.
Yes, because we're just standing there in a herd of thousands of people and you're just stuck outside.
Honestly, I don't know how much that had to do with the logistics and layout of the stadium and stuff. They were trying to use those like digital scanner things for your tickets.
Yeah.
And it was like, guys, this is obviously because they're having to rescan everybody's ticket like 3-4 times. Like, I thought we were going to miss kickoff.
Yes.
We damn near did.
And it was for the opener. And it was just one of those things. It was like this. And then the stadium, I think the stadium looks really nice from you're walking up, you see it on the lake.
Yeah.
It looks really nice. But when you get into the stadium, it's dated. It is not, it's not a nice stadium in terms of what the nicer stadiums in the league are like. Okay, so just the game day experience as a whole, especially if you're a casual fan, you know, somebody who goes to maybe one game a year, it's not a great experience. It's not a great game day experience right now.
It's the reason why I usually do one game a year. And I don't, like, I know Justin goes up, but they do the bus.
Yes.
So that's a little easier when you're not having to navigate it yourself, but you still got to put in the time. Like you said, you got to leave early, get there early. You're stuck in traffic getting in. You're stuck in traffic getting out.
Oh my God. Anytime I go to a Browns game and I park in the one parking garage, I don't even put my car in drive. I just know I'm going to be stuck in there for minimum an hour to an hour and a half of just sitting in my parking space.
Yep.
So you, all of a sudden your 1 p.m. game that goes from 1 to 4 o'clock. I live an hour and 45 minutes from Cleveland. I got to leave at 6 a.m. I don't get home until 8 p.m. It was a 1 o'clock game.
That lasted a little over 3 hours.
Yeah, and I'm freaking dead tired.
Yep.
You know, from my 3-mile hike there and back through the elements. It's just, the game day experience can be so much better. You can, they build up this area. There's so many different ways to get into Brook Park in terms of traffic. Not everybody's going to be going the same way. I was talking to John today and he was like, right now when everybody leaves Cleveland, they all have to go south.
Yeah.
You know, for the 99% of people, because you're not driving into the lake, you know? So now you go to, there's different ways to get out. There's different ways to get in. There's well-lit parking spots. And then you're inside. We don't have to sit in 8 degrees, freezing cold winds off the lake. We don't have to miss kicks because of swirling winds. Like, it's just going to be better. This will attract free agents. People don't want to come play where, especially in an offensive league where offensive stats are what get you paid. Who wants to go play where they might play in 6 or 7 bad weather games a year?
Brandon Ayuk. We'll get to that.
Hopefully. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like,
no, you're absolutely right, man.
Offensive. And you can say it's not that you get your home games at the beginning of the year where hopefully you don't have rain. But the weather's nice. And then once you basically start getting to like October, it's a crapshoot whether it's going to be 40 mile per hour winds, it's going to be freezing cold, it's going to be raining, snowing, or it's going to be all of them.
And I've seen a lot of people still, like they'll still point to the week 1 game last year and be like, Deshaun had a terrible game, and they list his basic box score stats. Yes, those box score stats look terrible. In that game, those stats were awesome. Because it rained the entire game. Joe Burrow had like 83 total yards in that game. It was rough.
So I don't understand. In the to the people saying, don't take them out of Cleveland. They're not leaving Cleveland. They're still the Cleveland Browns. They're going to be called the Cleveland Browns. It's 10 minutes away.
We've done this. How many teams in the league don't actually play in the city that they are from?
Oh, some people don't even play in the same state.
Exactly. Exactly.
Some people don't even play in the same state.
And did you see, I think Chicago's moving, they're building a new stadium on the lake, but it's outside of the city a little bit, isn't it?
And they're giving up Soldier Field.
Yeah.
It's like, so if they can do it, we can give up our 25-year-old stadium.
And they're another team that needs to do it.
Yes. So it's just, the experience is a whole, tear down the stadium, build up a nice lakefront place down there. There's nowhere good in Cleveland in terms of the lakefront. Make this the destination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bus people from the Muni lot out there. If you want, you could still have the Muni lot on game days. It's 10 minutes. You could have trams set up that'll take you straight from the Muni lot to the stadium and then bring you back to your car at night if you want. Like, yeah. It's just, it's not that big of a deal. And to the people who say it's going to destroy the downtown, we play 8 home games.
Exactly.
In a 365-day year.
And guess what? We don't have all year long concerts and other, conventions and things there because it's an outdoor stadium.
Just, yes. And we get to, we might host a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We might host a Final Four or even a championship. We might host a college football championship stuff.
Right.
You know, like.
Sure.
It'll be so much better. So much better. To the people that are anti this, it's just, I don't understand. I don't understand.
What I like about it is football was born in, are we echoing?
I was just about to ask you, is it coming on your computer?
I have no idea. Hey guys in the chat, let us know if all of a sudden we're echoing because now I'm like hearing it out of nowhere. Anyway, football was born in Northeast Ohio. And that's what I love about the Hall of Fame Village area. Like that, the way they've developed that is so, so cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
And, you know, once they got past like a bunch of the red tape and things that were holding that project up, it went up pretty quick, actually, like how quickly they developed that area. And I know it's on a smaller scale, but that's what the whole purpose was, to make like a mini NFL caliber environment. And that's what they've done. So I think it's just another addition to the Northeast Ohio football tradition. And I love it.
A comment I saw earlier that said football was created to be played outdoors. No, that was just the only option.
That's exactly right.
1800s.
Then why don't people have a problem with like some of the baseball stadiums that are in domes?
The basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there. Why don't we play basketball outside?
Why isn't hockey always outside? There's outdoor ice hockey, right?
John. Very good.
Oh boy.
So, but yeah, it's just get on. It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
And if you're going to complain about it, I guarantee you the first time you go to a game there, you won't complain anymore.
No, it's, and I'm glad that the decision is kind of like finally out there, because I'm tired of telling people, guys, this is just happening. Just, it is what it is.
If you haven't read the letter too, go read it. I thought, like, a lot of people are talking about how they want Jimmy Haslam to pay for all of it because it shouldn't be onto the taxpayers and that kind of stuff. And they address that kind of stuff in terms of, like, they don't want to add a burden to the taxpayers. They're looking for other ways to fund that side of it.
Was it this?
It was way longer, though.
Oh, okay. You want me to read this quote of it?
Go ahead.
It says, the proposed $1.2 billion-plus private investment in the stadium is unprecedented and would be the largest private per capita stadium investment ever in this country. And that does not include the $1 billion privately funded development we are envisioning, which would also be tremendously impactful for our region. Just as importantly, we are not looking to tap into existing taxpayer-funded streams, which could divert resources from other pressing needs. We are instead working on innovative funding mechanisms with local, county, and state officials that would leverage the fiscal impact of the project and the unprecedented private contribution to support the public investment and generate a substantial return for Brook Park, Cuyahoga County, and the state of Ohio.
Yes.
And very well thought out.
Yes. And so they're not looking, and they said, this is the budget. If it goes over the budget, the whatever is over will be paid for privately. I also saw in other parts of the letter, they're talking about thinking about like they'll save money. They'll save revenue almost in like an escrow for future maintenance. So like it'll already be designated. So to keep the facility up, so it lasts longer and longer. So I don't know. To me, it seems like the Browns have put a lot of thought into it. They've been open and they've listened to things, but they're going to do what they want to do. And it seems like they're at least being smart about what they're going to do. They're not just they're not just rushing into it. So I cannot wait. We've been pounding the drum for a dome on this show basically since the beginning. And a lot yes. of people said we were stupid. But
here we are.
Here we are.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Dog pack, the summer is in full swing, and you guys know what that means. Omaha Steaks annual hotter than fire sale. Go to omahasteaks.com right now, and for a limited time, you guys can get big savings on great packages from Omaha Steaks for just $99. Plus, you guys can get an extra $10 off that order with promo code DOGS, DAWGS, at checkout. So these packages with that promo code are essentially $89. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, the premium pork, the air-chilled chicken, the meatballs, the chicken wings, the appetizers, the ready-to-eat meals, the wine, everything that Omaha Steaks has to offer, head over there today, check it out. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale to get these exclusive savings on the mouthwatering packages that start at just $99. Plus, use that code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out for an extra $10 off your order. But hurry, because this sale is only available for a limited time. Summer always flies by, and this deal is going to fly by, so you're not going to want to miss it. Go shop today, omahasteaks.com. Use promo code DOGS at checkout for an extra $10 off your order.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Ron Bender says, do you think the Browns will go harder for Ayuk? I think it's a perfect transition because we wanted to talk about all the trade rumors swirling Brandon Ayuk, the Browns. It was between us and the Patriots. Now the Patriots seem like they've dropped out and it's down between us and the Steelers. If I'm the Brown, I don't want him to go to Pittsburgh.
I
don't want him to go to Pittsburgh. So I would be pushing, you know, trying to get it done. I think a lot of it, based on my understanding, the 49ers are okay with either deal, essentially, which whatever team has proposed. It's basically up to Ayuk to pick where he wants to go because whatever team trades for him wants insurance that he's going to sign the extension.
Right. So, I mean, it's very similar to the Deshaun situation because the Texans were fielding trade offers. They got the final, four that they accepted.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of, okay, Deshaun, now you negotiate with your agent negotiate with the teams to figure out which one, you know, we've accepted all four. You decide which one you're taking.
It's one of those things too. Like Deshaun had no trade clause. Ayuk doesn't have a no trade clause, but in a way he has a lot of power because he's in the last year.
Right.
And nobody is going to want to give up the draft capital if it's only a 1 year rental.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
He holds a lot of the power because of that.
Well, and I see a lot of people that say, well, the Browns, there's 0% chance the Browns get him because they can't afford him. And I just keep telling people, we would not have submitted a trade offer that got accepted if we weren't in position to pay him.
Correct.
Like, we obviously know what we're doing. I mean, if you don't trust Andrew Berry and the Browns front office by now, you're never going to.
What's this? Common guys forget about fantasy talk, the Ayuk in the dome. Clarify. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's talking about either.
So I guess then I ask. So obviously the Browns are in play. It's widely reported. Do we want him?
So we did a show back in February. If you guys want to go back and check it out, it's still on YouTube, obviously. And we did a whole segment, big part of the show about Brandon Ayuk because it was like we were looking around the league and I saw he was a potential trade target, I thought, because of this situation right here. Last year of his deal, they've got a lot of cap tied up and other huge playmaking options on the team. And somebody was going to be available. And it made most sense that it was him. And I wanted him. Like I was like, go get him. Go solidify this wide receiver core. Give us as many weapons as possible. And let's just go make a run at this damn thing. Like a seriously hard run at it because first of all, the big thing with him, if you just box score surf, like we talked about earlier, he had like 76 receptions for 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, those are good numbers. They're not like elite of the elite numbers, but they're nice. But those simple numbers right there came in the lowest volume passing offense in the entire league. We talked about that. The 49ers were 32nd in the league in pass attempts. So there wasn't, there were the fewest pass attempts in the league, and he was competing with targets with three other elite options. Not good options, not pretty good, like elite. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. And so for Ayuk to be able to do what he did last year shows how efficient he is. He's a great route runner. If you saw his reception perception chart I put out on Twitter the other day, all green. Full green chart, meaning he's wildly successful on all the routes he ran. He's just, he's a very good receiver.
Here's the thing is, we say maybe his stats aren't like insane. He had better stats than Amari Cooper.
That's right.
And I know Amari Cooper had to play with five quarterbacks last year, which makes it very impressive, but he would have led the AFC North in receiving last year.
But we also didn't have CMC, George Kittle, and Deebo.
Yes.
And he did all that with those guys.
So I played devil's advocate in that episode. Yes. And a lot of people have, in our Discord, have been texting us about this is, they don't want to give up Cooper, which I don't think it's a guarantee that Cooper's part of it. I've actually seen some things where he's not included in it. So it's, I feel like it's likely he would be, but it's not necessarily the fact that he is. Like they could be on the team together, I guess. But they're saying, why would you trade a guy who you know is a number one for a guy who you don't know if he's a number one because he was the fourth option on that team? Well, as the fourth option, he had 75 catches, 1,300 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
He was the first option. He was just one of four options.
Yes, he was the number one. Obviously, he ran the ball with CMC. He was an option over Kittle. He's an option over Deebo. He was their number one option. There's just other talent. And let's not pretend that they would be putting him on the 2016-17 Browns.
Right.
He's coming here with Jerry Jeudy. I mean, I'm not saying that we have a Deebo and a Kittle and a CMC, but when we get Chubb back, we have a top-tier running back. We hope so this year. We have a top-five tight end. Okay, and we have two other receivers that are pretty good pros in Jeudy and Elijah Moore. So it's not like we're trading him here and it's just a desolate wasteland of no talent and they're going to be able to double and triple team him every single play. He's still coming to a team with tons of talent.
Everything you just said about desolate wasteland of talent would have been Pittsburgh.
Yes, I don't want to see him on George Pickens, though, is a freak athlete. He's a head case, but he's a freak athlete.
Yeah, but the head case thing to me, I wonder how that would work.
He's super head case.
Yes, like worse than any of their other receivers.
Yeah, because normally they had to wait till they got CTE to turn into head cases.
he just came in with it.
But no, so like the Ayuk, he had better numbers than Amari last year playing on a team that didn't throw the ball. They threw the ball the least amount. He was their number one option. You can say like he wasn't because they have Deebo and stuff like that, but if he wasn't their number one option, he wouldn't have led the team in yards and catches and all the other.
Well, I don't understand how people can say things like, oh, he's not even like a top 10 receiver or anything like this. He was an all pro.
Yes.
Only 7 receivers got all pro honors. Like all pro is the high of the high. Like there's Pro Bowl. And then there's all pro, and very few people get all pro. There were 7 receivers in the entire league that got all pro, and he was one of them.
He would have, like I said, he would have led the AFC North in receiving last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And if you just look at it, if you're looking at it from the Browns perspective, obviously we love Amari Cooper. And I think the Browns are in a unique position here where this is one of those times where if we don't get the guy we're targeting, it's okay. Cause we still have Amari Cooper.
Right.
You know exactly what I mean? But if you're looking at it from the Browns perspective, Brandon Ayuk can give you a lot of what Amari Cooper does. I mean, he had better numbers, essentially. He played with more consistent quarterback play, but they threw the ball less. But he can give you a lot of what Amari Cooper can give you, and he is entering his prime, and you're going to have him for years. I kept seeing in the Discord risk. The risk is too high to get rid of Cooper for Ayuk right now because you don't know if Ayuk can be your number one because he's not right now. One, I'm fairly confident he can be the number one.
Yes.
Two, what is the risk? Amari Cooper's gone after this year.
Yeah.
He's gone. So it doesn't, best case scenario, you have Amari Cooper for one more year and then we don't have anybody next year.
And we're hoping Jerry Jeudy ascends.
Yes. Now if you trade for Ayuk isn't going to go from 1,300 yards to a scrub. So even if he comes in and he's not, you know, Justin Jefferson or something, and he's still above average or good, well, at least then we have him, because Cooper's gone. This is Cooper's. If they were going to sign Cooper to multiple years, it would have been done this year. They're not going to let him play another season of wear and tear, potentially more injuries, another year older, and then give him a 2 to 3 year deal.
Not a 31. No.
You know what I mean? Especially not Andrew Berry. So Amari Cooper's gone. So the risk talk about is it worth the risk to get rid of Amari Cooper? I don't think there's that high of risk.
No. And okay. So you mentioned this and I wanted to talk more about it. So I'm of the opinion, man, I don't think that the Browns are making these trade offers that are getting accepted by the 49. I don't think they're going after Ayuk with the mindset of we're going to use Amari Cooper as the collateral to get this done. I feel like, to me anyway, the more logical thing is they want to add Brandon Ayuk to the Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy wide receiver trio.
And go crazy this year.
And go crazy. And then, like I put on Twitter, just kick you in the nuts over and over with David Njoku. And just say, hey, stop this. Because, first of all, from the 49ers side of things, let's just look at it from that perspective. What's Amari Cooper really do for you? I mean, you got a top-tier wide receiver here that you know you're... I think the 49ers are trading him no matter what now. It just...
Yeah, he doesn't want to be there now.
I feel like this is done. Done deal. He's getting moved.
He's going to one of the two teams.
Yes. And if I'm the 49ers, I'm looking for draft capital. I'm looking for young, up-and-coming, hopefully, players to fill out my roster.
They need cheap, good players.
Exactly. So they're already paying, and we did this in that last episode. I didn't bring up the numbers in front of me, but like George Kittle's like a top three paid tight end. CMC's like the highest paid or second highest paid running back. Debo's one of the top like five highest paid receivers or something. Like they've got cap tied up. They've got money they got to set aside for Brock Purdy. Are they really going to bring in and invest all this money into Amari Cooper this year? For 1 year? Like, people always talk about, well, why would the Browns do this trade on a one-year rental? Why would the 49ers do a trade on a one-year rental? Like, do you think they got a big incentive to sign Amari Cooper some long-term big deal like we didn't? No, they're not going to do that either. So, to me, it makes more sense that Amari Cooper's not in the trade. To me, it would be, if I was San Francisco, I'd be saying, if I want a receiver, give me your first-round pick next year and give me Cedric Tillman. I'd hate to see Cedric Tillman go. We'll talk about him a little bit later here. But, you know, give me an up-and-coming guy that I think can really help my offense. They don't have another, like, big outside receiver, so that would fit the bill for them. Or give me a young offensive lineman. We need some help there. I think Trent Williams is holding out for them, their left tackle.
Yeah.
So there's more money that they got to figure out. They need cornerback help. They need, you know, there's other places of need. I don't think we necessarily need to think about this in terms of wide receiver for wide receiver.
I agree. And I think to people, I think if Debo and Brandon Ayuk were like, I think they paid Debo a year early. I think behind closed doors, the Niners would probably like, they'd rather keep Ayuk.
Oh, for sure.
They would rather keep Ayuk. But the problem was, is Debo wanted paid last year and he was coming off a season where he was incredible. And so they paid him. And now, and then I think they know Ayuk is their best pure wide receiver. And they got their nuts in a bind because they paid Debo a year too early.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think if you asked them behind closed doors, if it was even Steven, whatever, they would keep Ayuk.
I agree with that. I think that's fair. Nothing against Debo. It's just,
no, Debo's, like you said, I love watching Debo and he's great too, but
he's a great NFL player.
Yes.
He is a good offensive weapon, but he gets injured because of the way that he is utilized to the best of his ability. It's a more physical form of football, whereas, like you said, Ayuk is a pure wide receiver. He is a route runner. He's got great speed. He knows how to get open. He can beat man. He can beat zone. He is just an all-around awesome, awesome receiver.
Rob says, my concern is if we don't get the trade done now, how does Cooper respond? I think a lot of what we just talked about goes into that is, if you're the Browns, you can go to him and say, yeah, we're going after Brandon Ayuk, but we're not trading you.
We're not getting rid. We're trying to help out the team.
Yes. We're trying to add talent to the team. You're still going to be here. You're still getting your money. We're not trying to ship you off. Right. You're going to be here with him. And I think if Amari Cooper's honest, he knows this is his last year.
That's another thing too. And I know, I'm not expecting you to know the answer. It just came to me. Like, we've already guaranteed all of Amari Cooper's money for this year.
Yeah.
So does that mean if we trade him, we still eat that money?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I would assume they assume the contract unless we agree to some kind of split of it, but I don't know.
I just feel like, I don't know. I've seen both, like you said, both the reports, the Amari Cooper's included, the Amari Cooper's not included. I'm on the Amari Cooper's probably not included side. I feel like if the Browns are making this push for Ayuk right now this year, in this moment, it's to throw him into that mix of guys, not to replace Cooper.
And can you imagine it, man, if I want him.
I do too.
I really do. Obviously we're okay if we don't get him because we still have, I think, a pretty good wide receiver core. But man, I want him. I want him because he's younger, faster, healthier, here longer, all those reasons. And let's be honest, the wide receiver position, it doesn't matter. We're going as far as Deshaun Watson takes us this year. The entire offense is tailored to him now.
Yep.
Okay, everything is tailored to him being healthy and playing well. So it doesn't matter who we roll out there at wide receiver. It's on Deshaun this year to be healthy and play well. So we're going to go as far as he takes us. One more thing. I heard some people say Cooper's barely played with Deshaun. So it's not like, yeah. It's not like if Cooper is part of the trade, it's not like we risk getting rid of Amari Cooper and we're just destroying this great chemistry he's had with Deshaun. He's hardly played with him.
He's good with every quarterback he's ever played with.
Yes.
The thing about Cooper that kind of sets him apart from other receivers in the league is he's kind of just a plug and play guy. You put him into any offense with any quarterback and he's going to produce.
I think what a lot of the people's fear is, at least in the Discord, is that he's like a Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of he had a big season because everybody was triple teaming Antonio Brown, and then Antonio Brown left and Juju just pretty much fell off a mat. It was like an okay receiver, but never, yeah, not what he was supposed to be. I think Ayuk is better than Juju.
100%. And I don't think you're double teaming three other weapons on their offense.
Correct.
Because you wouldn't have anybody left.
Yes. It's not, like I said, it's not a wasteland of talent. You're not, if Ayuk gets traded here, they're not going to be able to double and triple team him all the time.
Right.
Because we have David Njoku. We have Jerry Jeudy. We have Elijah Moore. We have, hopefully, Nick Chubb. Like Cedric
Tillman. Jerome Ford out of the backfield, I still like a lot.
Yes. So I think he's very high upside. I know Jake Burns did a video on him, has been banging the drum for the Browns to make the move. So, I'm excited. I hope. I just don't want to go to Pittsburgh now. Like, it's one of those things, like, now I just want to call Jimmy and be like, whatever you got to do, make it happen.
Because don't let him go to Pittsburgh.
Don't let him go to Pittsburgh.
And what sucks is, I think it was all three teams. I think it was Pittsburgh, New England, and the Browns. And then I think Pittsburgh fell out early because they just weren't willing to meet the high trade asking price that obviously the Browns and the Patriots were. And then I think the Patriots got to a point where I don't think Brandon Ayuk was ever going to pick them. Why would you?
No.
I mean,
that's
serious.
A place where if you go there, you're going to get triple teamed because there's nobody else.
Exactly. And the offensive system, the quarterback, everything's a question mark there. I would just avoid it. So I think they saw the writing on the wall. He wasn't going there. So they backed out. Pittsburgh now, jumped back in.
Pittsburgh's going well.
Because they're like, we don't want Cleveland to get him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So hopefully Ayuk he's going to go from like somebody I love because he picked us over Pittsburgh. Or if he's going to go to Pittsburgh and we're going to be mother effing him on this show the next time, we don't want him to go to, he picked Pittsburgh over us.
I look at the Pittsburgh offense situation and I just, why would you go there? Like if you had the option and
they brought Matt Canada back, right? Or no?
No, it's Arthur Smith.
Oh.
It's, I mean, that's what it's been all offseason has been it's going to be run heavy. It's going to be Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. They're going to attack with the run. You know, Russell Wilson's not going to throw as much. I mean, like, even just like in fantasy circles, George Pickens is a question mark. It's like, well, how much volume is he really going to get? Well, now insert a better receiver. I don't know, man. I wouldn't go there.
The only reason you pick Pittsburgh over Cleveland is history.
Right. But recent history, we have two-time coach of the year.
Correct. And say what you want about Deshaun and the way he's performed so far in Cleveland. I like his odds at quarterback more than I like Russell Wilson or Justin Fields.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, Russell had a decent bounce back year last year,
yeah,
playing for Sean Payton, who's a very good offensive mind, and he's going to play with Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Who couldn't get, what's his face the ball?
Drake London or Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, or their, you know, the running
back. Bijan Robinson?
They took in the top five or whatever it was.
Didn't yeah, well, we have this great running back. Let's put the backup in.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, I wouldn't go to Pittsburgh either. But I mean, I'm a,
and I see a lot of people are like, well, Arthur Smith had, you know, he did well when he was the coordinator in Tennessee. He also had Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
Derrick Henry is an outlier. Yeah, talent. Generational, like you said, just a guy that there never has been and there never will be another Derrick Henry. He is just is what he is. So who knows what Arthur Smith really is?
Yeah,
I mean, from his head coaching in Atlanta, not good.
If he was a great coordinator in Tennessee, but he wasn't a good head coach in Atlanta, you would think that the offense, even if he wasn't a great head coach, at least the offense would have looked good.
Exactly.
Decision-making might have been poor in terms of clock management. Maybe they never get the defense right and they seem disorganized, but the offense would look okay,
like,
because like that's his strength.
Even like Cliff Kingsbury was not a great head coach in Arizona, but at least the offense looked good.
Yes.
You know, the offense
when they were healthy.
Yes. Yeah. They would hum, you know, it'd be like, okay, they're moving the ball. You know, they were fast paced of play, all this kind of stuff. The stuff you like to see for an NFL offense. You didn't see any of that with Arthur Smith.
No, they could not get their guys the ball.
Right.
Their breakout performers when he was there, Cordell Patterson, and Tyler Algier. Right. They got first round draft picks littered on the offense and yeah, they can't get them the ball.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be the savior of the offense for Pittsburgh.
That's why it's like, Brandon, what are you doing, man? You don't want to go there. Don't go to Schittsburg.
So let's make this happen. Let's start the hashtag don't go to Schittsburg. Let's get it trending.
I like that. Okay, yeah. Everybody in the chat. Head to Twitter and get that trending.
Yeah. And also head to X.
Fair enough. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs.
So that's enough about Ayuk, unless you guys want to talk about him more. But the Browns, it's been so long since I've said this. They have a game this week.
It's crazy.
I know. It almost brought a tear to my eye. And Stefanski did say that some starters were going to play about 10 snaps. Deshaun's not going to play. I'm actually excited to watch Jameis play.
I had somebody tell me today, like, I can't believe they're not going to have Deshaun go out there, at least for the first series. I was like,
He's still
rehabbing the shoulder. Yeah. He took 2 days off 5 days ago. What are you talking about? He's not. Of course he's not going to play in the game.
Do I want to, maybe by the third one, could he come in and play a series? Okay, that'd be cool. But no. Like, let's get him. The Browns are struggling enough to keep guys healthy right now.
To week one. I got the list up and I'll go through it in a minute.
Let's not get our starting quarterback, you know, let's not put him at a high risk of injury if we don't need to. Is what I'm trying to say before the season even starts. There's a lot riding on this season. Okay. So, let's go through the injuries real quick and then we can kind of talk about training camp and what we're excited to see for the game.
All right, cool. So we'll just recap from the beginning. Obviously the guys who are out and they've been out since the beginning, Nyheim Hines, D'Anthony Bell still out, dude. That sucks.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, I guess I don't see him that he's back, but Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, Greg Newsome, Dalvin Tomlinson, those two had surgery. Hopefully they're back by week one. Nick Chubb, obviously. Now we got Shelby Harris is out. He's questionable with a undisclosed, so we don't know. Tony Fields is out with a foot injury. Deontay Foreman is out right now with that neck injury. He got carted off, immobilized, carted off, helicopter flown to another hospital when they were at the Greenbrier last week. He had a collision with, I can't remember who. And so they thought he had like a neck injury. Everything came back negative. So Deontay Foreman's okay. He's just recovering now. So hopefully he'll be ready for the season. Za'Darius Smith, he went down with that knee injury. He banged his knee, I think it was with Jerome Ford or something in practice the other day. He got carted off the field. I was about to lose my mind. Like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And it came back. He's got a knee contusion. Nothing serious. He's going to take some days to rest and heal up. He should be okay. And Juan Thornhill is also questionable. He was just with an illness, so that one's not a big deal. But we had, this one wasn't on here because he's back now. Elijah Moore collided with Denzel Ward last week and went out with a concussion. And I said, those are the two guys that we do not need hitting heads or having any extra risk of concussions. Because Denzel Ward gets one every other game, and Elijah Moore had that nasty one at the end of last season. So
I don't understand how they're wearing, I know they're not foolproof, but they're wearing Guardian caps.
Hey, we talked to the CEO and every the owners of Guardian caps, and they were like, look, you know, it's not 100% effective, but.
Like that, just like when I saw concussion, I was like, I also saw some other people say, why do we need to be going full contact in practice already? Guys, these guys have done voluntary camps, mini camps, OTAs. They got it. The season's here.
Yeah, we're going to be playing in, yes, what, a month?
We're playing a game in 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a full contact preseason game. These guys have to be ready.
Yes, you have to hit. Trust me, there's plenty of rules where they barely hit in practice anymore. They got to hit some. Like you can't take all the risk out of football. Like sometimes it's just going to happen. Either that or you just don't play them. They don't practice. You just never do anything and you show up on games and hope you don't get hurt. And injuries are probably going to pop up more. I think injuries are happening more because of how limited they are in practice in terms of what they can do.
That's what Bob Golic even said that too. He agreed with that when we interviewed him at the Hall of Fame.
You have to condition your body to get used to taking a hit. Just like professional skateboarders and BMXers, like they practice falling, you know, gymnasts know how to fall, bail on there. You have to condition your body to get hit, how to fall. Like it's a training. If you never get hit and then you come out and you get walloped, you're going to get hurt.
Absolutely.
So they got a hit. Things I'm looking forward to in the game. Well, one, I'm just excited to see the offense. I want to, obviously they're not going to empty the playbook in a preseason game, but I really hope they can. I don't want it to be too vanilla. Like come out, let's see some stuff.
I want to see what it's going to look like. Just some shades of it.
Yes. Let's see what we're going to be getting this season. I want a noticeable difference in terms of what we've had the last few years and what we're going to have this year.
I want everybody to not start the whole Jameis Winston should be our starter whenever he plays well on Saturday. Just take it easy. It's preseason. Obviously he's a good quarterback, but he is the backup. So let's just, I think that this year's, you know, last year we had the Austin Watkins kind of like that breakout. No one knew who he was, receiver. But this year, I think we're going to see Cedric Tillman do some things in the preseason just because, have you been following the stuff from camp? Like Cedric Tillman has been.
He's been playing well.
He's been highlight reel after highlight reel at camp, getting loose down the sideline, taking in those deep shots, doing the things that we drafted him to do. Just, it's tough. When you're a rookie and you're not getting a whole lot of reps on the field, it's really hard to go through your development at a quicker rate. So I'm just excited to hear that he is progressing the way he is so far in camp.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of the rookies, especially a couple of the guys we interviewed. I'm looking forward to...
DeAndre says Aiden Robbins, Jamari Thrash, Mike Hall.
Yes, I'm very... And Robbins is going to get run now for sure with Deontay Foreman going down. I definitely think he's going to get run. We know what John Kelly is.
Pierre Strong.
Like we know these guys. If I'm the Browns, are you playing Jerome Ford?
No.
I'm not playing Jerome Ford.
Because I know he's my starter week one.
Yes. So your running back's coming in. Naheem Hines isn't playing. So you're going to have four running backs this game most likely, or three. Pierre Strong, John Kelly, and Aiden Robbins.
I would tell Aiden, if I was the Browns, I'd tell Aiden Robbins, if you want the job, go win it right this preseason.
Go get, yeah. So, and you got to think, these guys, they're vets. They're not going to play a ton. I could see Aiden Robbins being like a workhorse back second half of this game. Like getting, you might get 20 carries or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see a guy like Treyton Welch.
Yes.
Because the tight end position behind David Njoku is definitely a question mark. So I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see Jamari Thrash.
Yes.
And what they have in store for him. Amarian Brown. Am I saying it right?
Amarian
Brown. Yep. Another guy we interviewed. So there's a lot of rookies I'm excited to watch. It's my favorite part of preseason is because a lot of these guys, you might, once we get to the season, probably not going to see a ton. So this is the chance to kind of get to see them in action in a game environment and see how they're going to do.
It's kind of like last year in the preseason. We saw Cedric Tillman make some plays, make some nice like man catches out there. We were like, damn, look at Cedric Tillman. Looks like he might be a player. Obviously, whenever he got his opportunities in the season, he had some flashes, rookie learning curve. Not a whole lot of opportunity, but it gave you, after the season, it gave you that thing to look back on and say, well, remember in the preseason, though, he really flashed. And that's what I'm hoping, like you said, with like Jamari Thrash and some of these guys, because I don't expect to see Jamari Thrash much during the season.
No.
So let's see him now and see, like, hey, maybe we have a rotational receiver for the future here.
So I'm excited for that. If we look to the defensive side of the ball, is Mike Hall going to play? He's healthy, right?
He's healthy.
I've heard a lot of people come out and say that he is. Za'Darius Smith said he reminds him of Aaron Donald. Now, calm down. We're not saying he is Aaron Donald. He's just saying he sees some of the same similarities in terms of their game and athleticism. Obviously, Aaron Donald is one of one.
Yes. Hall of Famer.
Yes.
First ballot.
You know, arguably one of the best defensive players of all time. So we're not saying Mike Hall is Aaron Donald. We're just saying that the guys on the team are seeing traits in him that you see in guys like Aaron Donald in terms of his athleticism and his work ethic and some of the things he can do on a football field. So I'm excited to see him. I'm really excited to see Bookie Watson.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff I'm excited to watch.
So like our depth secondary guys, I want to see like Miles Harden, the rookie that we took, I think sixth or seventh round this year. And then Cam Mitchell. I really like those two. And obviously Hickman, Ronnie Hickman out there.
I call me weird too. I'm excited to watch Cade York kick. I hope Cade York kicks. Like maybe like Dustin Hopkins probably doesn't need to come out and kick in these games. Let's let Cade York go kick.
I think they'll probably have Dustin kick maybe the first couple opportunities just to get him loose, just to put him out there and get the reps going. Because, hey, I mean, I know he's a kicker and he's one of the best, but you still need the reps. Yeah. But I am excited to see Cade York back out there too.
Yeah. Has he learned anything? Is he more dialed in? I know a lot of people kind of shit on the Browns for going back and getting him. The kid's got a monster leg. If we can hone his skill, he can 100% be a weapon when Dustin Hopkins leaves.
Yeah, we talked about that when we brought him back. Like, so you end up sticking him on the practice squad. What's the harm in that?
Yeah.
Last year, we were stuck when, you know, Hopkins got hurt, unfortunately, and then we were on the waiver wire. We were on other people's practice squads just trying to find somebody to come in here and maybe kick a field goal. I mean, it's not easy to do in Cleveland. And you know, yeah, like you said, if you can get Cade York in here and get him more reps and more experience, I love it. I think it's just a smart move.
So, yeah, so I'm weirdly excited to see the backup kicker get a couple kicks, hopefully, you know, a couple extra point attempts, and just kind of see, like, if he's come along at all, you know?
Yeah.
If he comes out and he goes 2 for 2 on extra points and makes a 40-yard field goal, I'm like, hey, I feel kind of good about that. I feel kind of good about his progress. So I'm excited to see that. I'm very excited. I was at the Hall of Fame game, so I got to see the new kickoff
rule. Yeah, talk about it. What was it like?
The new kickoff rule? Yeah. I loved it.
Okay, talk about it.
It was, I think 7 of 8 kickoff returns or something. Only one wasn't returned.
Okay.
So I left at halftime because, the game ended up getting postponed in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah, that weather came in was nasty.
But every return, I was, like, excited to watch it. everyone got returned. There were a couple where I was like, oh, there's a seam, and then it closed up. I think it's going to add a layer of excitement to the game that we've been missing for honestly a long time. I'm very excited. I'm excited to see the strategy as we get further into it and teams get more and more comfortable. I did see one penalty on the return team of the players turned and left too early. And so they got called for, I think it was just called leaving too early. I don't know if it's like an official false start or something.
Yeah, false start.
So they got a penalty. So I would imagine the officials will be looking at that. Like, hold your water, because I think that's going to be a point of emphasis, making sure people aren't leaving early. So that was called on one of them. But the kickoff, it has a layer of excitement back that it hasn't had in a long time. And I'm excited to see the strategy that goes into it, what these special teams coordinators can come up with in terms of reverses off of it. Do teams start putting safeties or corners or whatever who can kick in to do the kickoffs, to get another athlete on the field, especially right. in like late game situations? You want another athlete on the field. Do we have a guy like Anthony Bell who can come in and put a couple seconds of hang time on it and get it down to the five, you know? So I'm excited to see everything that goes into it. So it was awesome to watch. I was actually engaged into every kickoff.
Well, and it just gives you an opportunity that teams haven't had, fans haven't had, watching games in recent years, is, you know, cause that pretty much every kick's going into the end zone. So you're getting it at the 25, and that's where your drive's going to start. But now it's like, okay, I mean, a well-executed return could get you to the 40 or the 40. It could get you some very nice field position for your drive. And you're right. It just adds a whole nother layer of strategy to your game plan. And I'm just really excited to see how it all goes.
I'm excited. So there's a lot of good stuff to look out for in this game. I want to see us come out injury free. Obviously.
Yeah.
No injuries. I want to see the defense still play fired up. Jordan Love, I saw, is going to start, and a lot of their starters are going to play. So it'll be interesting to see some of our backups sprinkled in against some of their starters. I don't know how much their starters, but I want the defense to be – I don't want the defense to take a step back last year. I want us to be the home defense of last year, not the away defense of last year. See us correct some of the things that we struggled with last year in terms of like motion, and adjusting to that kind of stuff. And then I just want to see the offense and the noticeable difference, how the play calling is going to work. Obviously Stefanski is going to call the plays, but the collaborative effort with all these guys talking to each other in the headset to come up with the play, are there going to be issues in terms of getting it in on time? What kind of tempo we're going to be able to play with? So there's a lot of stuff I want to see in terms of implementing the new offense that, I'm excited to watch.
Absolutely. It's exciting. It's just hard to believe we're here. Like the calendar turned to August and I almost didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
And then it was Hall of Fame week. And I was like, holy crap. That game's this week.
I feel like this off season, maybe I've just been busy. I feel like this was a fast off season.
It flew. I feel like it flew too.
I mean, maybe we had kind of a lot of cool stuff to keep us going. We interviewed a lot of players and stuff, but I feel like it went really fast. So I'm geared up, ready for football. Before we get out of here, Andrew says, hey guys, what do you think about Tony Grossi comments about Ayuk and other shit? What did he say? Because we don't see him because he blocked us on Twitter.
I see him from my personal still.
I don't understand. We were talking about this. He blocked us at some point. I don't know why. I feel like there's way worse people out there than us. We don't even at him.
Old man butthurt, man. That's all it is.
But he blocked us. So I don't know what he said. Andrew, if you can hurry up and type it in.
Well, basically he said, I don't get the infatuation. I don't get the Browns infatuation with this guy in terms of Brandon Ayuk.
Why?
Exactly.
You don't get the infatuation.
He got a lot of blowback from that. Like, dude, do you not like watch other teams? Do you not pay attention? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
I'm going to give Tony Grossi a reason to block us.
He drives me nuts. His negativity is, and I'll tell you what, Daryl Reuter is another one.
Oh, he's a fucking nerd too.
Oh, remember we ate lunch with him
up
at the Hall of Fame last year?
Yeah. I don't understand covering the team. And listen, if you've watched this podcast, you know we have shit on the Browns before.
Oh yeah.
There are times the Browns deserve to get shit on.
Yes, well, shit when they deserve to be shat upon,
yes,
but they do not deserve it right now.
And they did not everything we do has to be a catastrophe. Not everything has to be second. Like, at what point is it just like, this guy had 1,300, almost 1,400 yards last year, 7 touchdowns, was an all pro. Why would we not be interested in that? Did we not watch our teams give away good players for years and bring in guys like Dwayne Bowe?
I think what Tony would want to see is he would want to see a guy like Brandon Ayuk say, of course I want to go to Cleveland and accept their trade offer, and then I'll go there and sign for the minimum.
Yeah.
Like, Tony, this is not how the world works, man. I just don't understand how you can cover the NFL and be this disconnected from how it works.
He probably doesn't get the internet on his typewriter. So,
yeah, it could probably be a problem.
Yeah. His jitterbug doesn't get tweet alerts or whatever.
No, not Wi-Fi capable.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, why you would not be interested in why you just, like, what was his reasoning?
Yeah.
Does he not think he's good?
So that's what it was. So the other day he did say about, I don't get why they're infatuated with this guy. And then today it was, when the reports came out that the Patriots backed out, he said the Browns need to save face and do the same.
What are we saving face?
That's exactly
from?
What I said. And I think I posted that on his post from my personal. I said, save face from what? Trying to go make the team better to go win it all right now?
Yeah.
I will never be mad at the Browns for trying to get the best players available ever.
I don't understand the save face. What are we saving face? He's not a convicted murderer.
Well, and I think it was because there's all those reports of, well, he doesn't really want to go to Cleveland. Then don't fucking pick Cleveland. If he doesn't pick Cleveland, screw him. Who cares? We move on and we play football.
But you still try.
Exactly. Like, I just don't understand the save face. Oh, God forbid a player says he doesn't want to go play for the Browns. Come on, you got to have a little thicker skin than that, Tony.
Yeah, fucking like, be a man. Yeah, man. Like, and turns out, like, being a good salesman, a GM, you get people to do things that maybe they initially didn't want to do, and you make them see it from a different perspective. I mean, if nobody ever talked anybody into doing anything, nobody'd buy a car or a house or almost anything. Yep. Turns out, like, being a GM is being a good salesman, selling yourself, selling your team culture, selling your organization. So maybe Ayuk wasn't thrilled to go to the Browns at first. And then he talks to Andrew Berry, and Andrew Berry's like, no, look, we can do this and we can do this. Look, we got this. And then he's like, oh, well, okay, maybe I do want to come to Cleveland. That's part of being a GM.
I mean, it's how he got Deshaun Watson here. I mean, think about it. I know it hasn't worked out yet for the Browns because of the injury last year. What are you going to do? But I would have never in a million years thought the Browns were going to be in the running for one of the top young quarterbacks in the NFL ever.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have told me the Browns are going to make a big splash trade for one of the young elite Pro Bowl up and coming quarterbacks, I'd say, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're not going to give up the capital. They're not going to pay the guy. And somehow we did those things and convinced him to come here.
I can see it now, by the way. We're going to open this dome in Brook Park, and Tony Grossi's first article is going to be, it was just too comfortable in there. The atmosphere was too nice. The facilities were just too clean. I don't understand what we're doing out here.
I don't see the infatuation with a dome.
Yeah,
with a roof on the stadium.
I was so damn comfortable in there. I hated it. Like, I can see it now.
I had to leave my expensive winter jacket at home.
Yeah.
It pissed me off.
Yeah. I bought this jacket back in 1988. And I've been wearing it to every Browns game since, but they went and put a roof on it. And now I don't have any reason to wear it. I hate it here. Like, fucking go somewhere else then. Like, I don't get it at all. And this is coming from people who have, we've definitely crapped all over the Browns on this podcast before. It's not that hard to go find.
No, but it's definitely the Tony Grossi's of the world. Why this podcast even exists in the first place.
Yes. You don't have to complain. Not everything means you need to be complaining about it.
No, I think it was decades and decades of drama and turmoil and negativity. And unfortunately, that kind of stuff makes headlines. Kind of stuff makes your clicks.
I was obviously too young during the cardiac kids, but I can just imagine his articles like, they shouldn't have had to come back and win. The cardiac kids, that's a terrible nickname. They should just win from the start every game. Oh, they suck. I can just see the articles. I wasn't even there. I can just see it. So yeah, it's unbelievable. So, well, somebody go send this to Tony and he can use this as a reason to block us again. He can block Josh's personal account.
I'll just follow him with the fantasy
account. Yeah. So, all right, we're going to wrap this thing up. We appreciate you guys being here. It's our first live in a while. We had a decent amount of viewers. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, making the first live back a good one. We apologize for the technical difficulties, not being able to get to the voicemails and stuff like that. But we're going to get them sorted out as we head into the season. We obviously do a ton of lives during the season, so we'll have all the issues ironed out by the time we get there, and we'll be able to get your guys' voicemails and that kind of stuff on the show. Again, we appreciate you guys being here, hanging out with us all out throughout the off season. The season is finally here. We can't wait to have a football game to talk about next week. We're going to be doing some really cool stuff, maybe some live streams as we head into the season. So make sure you guys are here. Again, make sure you're subscribed and make sure you have the notification bell tapped. Please don't miss any of the content. It's going to be a fun football season.
Oh, reminder, join the dog pack, jointhedogs.com. If you want to play fantasy football, you got to get in soon because the deadline to register is August 23rd. We've already got four leagues filled up. We'd like to get two more if we can. I mean, we've got part of a fifth one already filling up. So get in there now, get registered. The registration post is at the top of the page. You get to join the private Discord, hang out with everybody. Pretty much everybody here in the chatter, for the most part, is in our dog pack. They're just awesome guys, awesome people. It's so much fun. And we're doing an event with the Browns backers in Berea on November 3rd, Saturday, November 3rd, right before the Chargers game.
And a ton of these
and it's
dudes.
It's like a dog pack get together. So
yes,
I mean, seriously, if you've ever thought about joining the dog pack, see what it's all about. I mean, there's a 7-day free trial to start off as well. So just check it out. You can always, if it's not for you, you don't have to stay, but I mean, we hope you do because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, again, we appreciate you being here. Check that out. Like he said, November 3rd, that week in that Chargers game, there's so many of these guys from the dog pack going to be into town, into Cleveland. It's going to be a good time. We're going to get to hang out with a bunch of these guys. So it's going to be fun. We appreciate you guys being here. Fantasy, Aura, like Josh just said, get in by August 23rd. I'm pretty sure you're probably already in. We'll start getting everything sent out. We'll start doing the draft shortly after. So we appreciate you guys being here, supporting us throughout the offseason. We're excited to get to the games. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week about this preseason game. Hopefully get out injury free. But it's here. We're excited. We're happy to be doing another season with you guys. So thank you, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.